Okay. So like I said, this is our last week that we're going to deal on this series about the 40 days of wholeness that we're talking about, body, soul, and spirit, that God has designed for us for a whole new way of life and to enjoy His blessing. Now, last week, we were talking about that spiritual part of it, the health of the spirit. Let me remind you just a couple things as we flow into the conclusion then. Remember when we talked about religious life, we're talking about the spiritual aspect, the spirit of our life. And many today do not want to deal with their evil nature. Remember we said that unless you're born again, you have no spiritual change because that's the only good nature you can have. We're born sinners. Our nature is evil. That means we're based in self-centered desires. Take any cute little baby and they'll prove to you they're selfish. They don't care how tired you are. They want what they want. They don't care whether they're whatever you're doing. They want to eat when they're hungry. Selfishness is our nature. That only can change not by psychiatrists and psychologists or by reading books to get yourself a better aspect of what you think in your mind. It has to come on a spiritual level. That's why we teach Jesus and being born again. That's the only change of nature that can happen when the Holy Spirit enters into us and we become new creatures, right? Everybody's with me, right? And so in this idea, we know that many people do not want to deal with their evil natures. They want God's blessing of health without Christ's teaching. This is very clearly seen in our culture. Many would rather just try to feel good and ignore their spiritual health. They don't spend any focused time on that. Secondly, they might even try the latest fad in spirituality that they see on the Oprah Winfrey show, or that they see in a movie star talking about, or even what they see on a news broadcast, because they're always bringing these new ideas to our culture. And so they're quick to grab onto those because they refuse Christ's answer to the spiritual aspect of life. Now, they may try a miracle anti-aging diet, because they've heard about it on the news, instead of changing their exercise habits. Notice what we want. We want shortcuts. We don't want to deal with a spiritual, just give me a pill. I'll take that, I'll lose 50 pounds, muscles will grow instantaneously. That's what they're looking for. They want an instant solution. They want a miracle stress vitamin instead of changing their prayer habits and seeking God for their solutions to their problems. They won't change their eating habits, but instead want a miracle weight loss herb that they can take and just boosh, it melts. And that's what you hear all the time. But then you keep hearing the secondary stories about the dangers of those things that they keep trying to figure out how to do. People do not want to take the road of discipline or spirituality for true change. And that's why we're having such a cultural disconnect. We're having such a falling apart of our culture because they keep going to the wrong answer for this, you know, the need they have. They keep wanting an answer to be this one. It doesn't fit the question or the problem. And so we continue to have endless new ideas that don't work, but then no one seems to stop and say, well, what does work anymore? Our churches also are filled with people who are frustrated and unfulfilled. Now, this is a very alarming concern we have as we investigate the churches. Many want the blessings of none of these diseases that we've talked about, but will not seriously obey the teachings of the Bible. And that's why we have to keep digging in as disciples here. I've got to push you to your limits to what you think so you understand the truth in Scripture is answers if you look at them. Like gold, most of us ignore them. We won't dig under the surface and find the gold that's in the nice mines that are there. We miss God's blessing because we don't really dig in to understand it. And that's why God always tells us, like even in the Psalm, meditate on my word. Those who meditate on my word will receive blessings. They will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It doesn't matter if it rains because their roots are by the river. They get all they need to drink. They don't need rain anymore. It's not a big deal. But most people, most churchgoers don't dig deep. And because they won't dig deep, they don't get the benefits. That leaves them frustrated and unfulfilled and not having answers to their conflicts and their problems of life. So we want you to dig deeper. We want you to see the importance of truly digging until you get it. You know what I'm saying? Don't just take the surface and say, well, I've read it, but I don't understand it. Well, then keep reading. Read more until you get it. Once you get it, God's after that understanding. You must learn to understand what He's telling you. when you come to understanding, you then respond and you find the blessing. Does that make sense? Now the next step here? Okay. Now, also we find in our churches people who want freedom from misery but will not give up their anger and unforgiveness. See, they're interested in the relaxing peace that they want, but they don't see the connection that their anger and unforgiveness is what's bringing about the consequence. And so that, that's too hard. Or you don't know my father. He did this a long time ago and I'm never going to forgive him, but God, give me peace. See, it's not going to work. God will not work that way. There's always consequence to your disobedience. We must see the solution to our cry goes back to His commands. And if we won't take that route, we'll still be frustrated. We'll still be unfulfilled. Next, they want healing from neurosis, but they do not want to give up their self-centeredness. If you know anything about, you start reading enough into the psychologists and so forth, you find out that many of them admit the reasons for most people's problems, they go into mental institutions, is they're torn between good and evil. They're tore up in their mind, they're double-minded, and they're destroying themselves and they can't think rationally. Many have said over and over, as I've read more and more, how important it is that the religious side is real. And many are even admitting now, I couldn't believe it, in 1995 there was a big gathering that stated that faith needs to be brought back into the culture. It's the solution to many of the people's problems. It's like, these people are actually admitting that in the medical realm and the psychological realms? Yes, they are. They're finally seeing. They can't answer it, but they see the solutions are taken in church people. They've done so many studies now over the last 10, 15 years. They cannot ignore. Almost every study shows the spiritual, physical, and emotional health of the church people. And not only that, the church people that are from the, quote, fundamental camps, you know, the fundamentalist churches, they're admitting are the ones that are the most stable people. They're the ones that have 50 to 75% higher health records compared to those that are not. They can't. Everything that comes in is destroying their opinions about religion's not of any importance anymore. They cannot ignore it now, and so they're trying to struggle with it. And they just say, and since a lot of them are still not religious, they just say, "Go join a church and do everything it says." I've even read one of the quotes from one of the guys that said that: "Just do everything they say. It'll help you." They don't know what they're talking about, but they see there's solutions and benefit from it. So again, we have to see that if that's the case, we need to get the people inside the church who are frustrated and unfulfilled to see that they are ignoring the very truth that God's giving them because the answers are really here. They make half-hearted commitments to God and expect wholehearted commitment from God to meet their every need. This is the real answer. In research, we've seen this over and over again. There's a continual research that's done by Christian researchers that people will not commit. And that's why they're not getting commitment from God. Remember, Jesus said that a lot of times. He knew their hearts and would not commit to them, it says in one of the portions of John, I think it is, where He knew the people and they didn't really trust Him. They didn't commit to Him, so He wouldn't commit to them. Christ knows your heart. And when you will not honestly commit to rely upon Him for your life, He will not give you the blessing you want. So you want the blessing, but cut short the reality. Only through honest, wholehearted, absolute commitment to Jesus Christ as a disciple will you gain the benefit. And that's important, and we'll go into that as we go further on here. They want joy unspeakable, but still want to gossip. Well, just think about what gossip does to others. That doesn't give them peace, does it? That doesn't give them joy to get ripped in shreds behind the person's back. But yet they'll do that and want joy for their hearts. Well, guess what? That doesn't work that way. God never lets those things work in that direction. They want the blessings of a victorious life without living the Christian life. Well, if you ignore the Christian life, you can't get the victorious life, obviously. But people still do not, in their minds, see it in many levels. And this is why we have to stop and talk about it. Now, this kind of faith is what I'll call, what can I get away with and still get to heaven when I die? You seen those ads that they have for the telephone things? They'll go through the thing and say, this is what plan I call the buy my books and go to school plan. Remember, you see some of those ads? This is one of these plans ideas too. These people have the plan of what I can get away with and still go to heaven plan. It's just the problem is it's not going to work with God. You're not going to get to heaven that way. And so we have to really be able to say and be honest with people, that's not the way it's going to happen. You'll never receive anything, blessings now or later. This cannot be the way. You've got to lay all those things down and remove them from your life. Now, our churches have these frustrated people, and I want you to read the scriptural background from this idea to see that it's not unusual. It was written by Paul back 2,000 years ago. It's nothing new except for he knew the solution and helped the Christian to get to the place of freedom and not conflict and neurosis in their minds. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 7. I'll just start at verse 15. It says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand." Notice that. I don't understand. Even in their mind, they didn't have understanding if they were in that state. "For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Notice the conflict there. Emotions say, "I hate this, but I still do it anyway." That's going to bring guilt. It's going to bring all kinds of conflict, isn't it? In that kind of life thinking. In verse 16, "Then I do what I will not to do. I agree with the law that it is good. I agree that God said it's not to do. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Notice the problem is the sin of such power that it overwhelms a person. They don't have the ability, the grace to live good, even though they agree that good is the thing they should be doing. Notice how it's worded. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." Now this is where people don't honestly agree with that. You hear people all day in our culture say, "We're basically, I'm a good person." Right? They say it all the time. "I'm basically a good person. How could God be mad at me? I'm a good person." Remember, did you remember that video I showed you from prison? People are saying, "I don't know why I'm in prison. I'm basically a good person at heart." Well, that's the biggest proud lie you ever heard of. That's ego saying, no, I'm a good person. No, you're in prison because you're an evil person. And you're struggling because we're all evil people when we start out. We're born in sin. God says you're not basically good. You are downright sickening evil. And until you admit that, you can't get the blessing of God. And this is where so many people are frustrated, even inside a church, because they still do not confess with their mouth, "I have been born a very selfish, evil person. I am not basically good. I am downright bad." But we have to come to that point of admission. Now notice what he continues to say. "For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." Now notice what we've talked about. We've talked about mind and will. What are those things? What is mind and will, folks? It's your soul, remember? Mind, will, and emotions. The feeling. What we're talking about is the soul thing right here. We're only in the soul. Remember, soul will never get you anywhere, will it? What has to be added to that mix before you'll get any blessing from God? Spirit, remember? This is why right here he's showing people that are thinking the solutions are in their mind or in your emotions or in willing yourself to do good. It cannot happen. Never will, never has, never will sometime in the future happen again. It's never in the soul can that be the solution. You will only find yourself as this frustration is that Paul is describing here. Verse 19, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Notice even the word practice. It's a continual thing. Even though there's a consistent admission in the brain, "I want to do this, I want to do this, it's a great thing to do," the conclusion is frustration because all they keep doing is the wrong thing. So what a terrible state to be in at this place. "Now if I do what I will not to do," verse 20, "it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." That's why we're talking about the evil nature, the old man Scripture talks about, that side of you that's destroying us. And in verse 24, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Notice the term, it's a body of death, it's destructive and hurting. How can I be delivered? Well, he knows the answer. We know the answer. We're going to talk about that. But notice, that is the frustration of people that we see in churches who have not found the spiritual life. Now, isn't that sad that they would be in church, many of them, for years and not find the spiritual answer, which is the whole point of being here? Can you imagine? No wonder they're frustrated. They come to church where the answer is at and they can't hear it with their ears. They're still either blinded to it, their ears are still dull to it, or it's not being communicated to them. But we must see the truth in the Word today. I don't want you to leave here without seeing that. Now notice the analogy I give you. No one can squirm free from the straitjacket of our dark side or evil nature. Just think of that picture of a person in a straitjacket, the frustration because you want to be free and you keep pushing and no matter what you do, unless you're Houdini, you don't get out of it. You're stuck, you know? And that only brings you more anger, frustrations, and sadness, and sorrow, and grief, and all those other emotions in your soul because the solution isn't there. What's needed for anybody in a straitjacket? A pair of scissors, but unless you get your hand out to use them, what else has to be with the scissors? Somebody else has to do it, cut it or untie it for you. Something outside of yourself is the only solution. And the more that people try to solve their problems with their ways and their strength and their wills and their emotions and their soul, cannot. Jesus would have died in vain if you could do all that. The point was there is no solution by yourself. That is why there is no good in man. There's no solution inside man. Now, the cost of non-discipleship needs to be preached in our day. Because when we get the easy sermons of how to do this and how to make it sound like you can do everything yourself, simply just go to church and kind of feel good and get this little uplifting message, go home and do it. But I want you to see what this Christian man wrote in the book called The Spirit of the Disciplines. He said, we and should, and the word added to should because it's broke here, we should lay a constant emphasis upon the cost of non-discipleship. In other words, there's a expensive thing by refusing to be a true disciple of Jesus. A life of crushing burdens, failures, and disappointments. A life caught in the toils of endless problems that are never solved. That unending soap opera. Notice that's what soap operas are. 25 years later, there's still endless problems with no solutions. Even though you know the whole story and it took them 25 years to go just a few months in the life of the problems, you know the problems but no solutions. That's what it's saying. That sometimes horror show is known as normal human life. And I put the emphasis there from it because that's exactly what we're saying. It's normal to try to solve your problems. It's normal to try to take and will yourself into being a better person. It's normal for you to pull up by your bootstraps and do better. It's normal for you to, on the January 1st, to do what? Make resolutions that you're going to do a better job. It's still normal for us thinking we have the strength, we have the goodness to make it happen. But it's not there. And that's what we have to convince the church of. And that's why we have to say true discipleship is the opposite of this kind of mentality that permeates our culture. Now, remember back last week here, I showed you these two issues. Remember, the only solution for spiritual health that comes begins with a visual aid here. Remember, when you face today's troubles without faith, you are not balanced. You are stuck with all your burdens upon your shoulders. With that in mind and trying to solve it through your soul strength, what you end up having is grief and anger, frustration, depression, sorrow that you wish you were a better person. All those things bring about physical illness. Physical illness. Remember, that will, because what's going on physically is it releases hormones into your bloodstream, stress hormones into your bloodstream. They literally have proven they exist from stress and frustration, and those hormones are poisonous, toxic to your system. They literally break down your cells, cause diseases. This is a known medical fact. So think about the frustrated people you know, the ones struggling without answer. They're continuing to hurt themselves physically along with emotionally, soulish, and spiritually. It's a hurtful situation all the way around. And if we go a little further, remember the only solution is to look to the future, understanding that life is only balanced with today's light trials that were looked on in the other thing as an overbearing burden. If you look at them as a light trial because of an immense weight of eternal glory, when you see that the future holds for you everlasting life, this is not a big deal. Remember Ray Comfort's example when he talked about getting on an airplane and there was two people that got on the airplane. One person was told, put on the parachute. This will make your flight so much more comfortable when you're wearing this on the flight. So here they put this big pack on their back so it sticks out a foot behind them. You ever try to sit in an airline seat? I know Harold wouldn't know because he doesn't fly. But they're like, but you know what a bus, you ever rode a bus? They're about the same. Uncomfortable, squished in little seats. Can you imagine trying to sit there with a pack on your back? Your face is going to be stuck on the seat in front of you. It's not comfortable. It will not give you any blessing. You'll hate it. And every bump and churn will be just irritating. If you come from that type of motivation, thinking that your blessing is now and that every little bump in the road of trials and tribulations and situations of not what you didn't want are something not what God had for you, you're going to be angry and upset your whole life. But if you understand that the parachute is a different reason, think of it the other way. Up 30,000 feet in the air, and the plane might crash or break and you have to jump. Suddenly, when you're sitting with an airline full of 300 people and you're the only guy with a parachute, guess who's smiling? As you jump and glide to safety, they would die. Suddenly, it didn't matter how uncomfortable the parachute is on the back. What's important is what the parachute was. It was for your eternal blessing. If you can look at your life under this light and understand what we're saying, today's troubles are nothing compared to what the blessing of the future will be. Yes, God does bring trials and tribulations, and He lets them happen on purpose. Do you understand? I don't know if you got email. I emailed you some of you that have email what I'm talking about right here. The point of change that God needs to make in your life so that the Spirit becomes real is a part that we call dying to self, which I'll reemphasize again shortly, and coming to the newness of life. The dying to self part is not wanted. Nobody wants to die to self. We want to be blessed with our socks still on. We want self-centeredness to reign. We want our egos to inflate. We want our importance to grow. We want people to notice us. We want fame, fortune, and power. So we walk through the door. People take notice. Did you notice who just came in? It was Joan Rivers. Oh. Can I get her autograph? That's what they did at QVC when she came. I didn't. Boom, boom. It's Mel Gibson. You know, you just feel you want that kind of importance that they hold. You want that reverence that these people have of fortune and fame that people get goosebumps over, because I went to the restaurant and I saw through the window and it was, you know, the guy from that rock band. You know, or I saw that basketball player. Joel's always calling. Oh, I met the so-and-so. He plays for, you know, so-and-so game, and he's a boxer or he's with the, what's that band, the Boys or whatever. One of those guys comes in all the time. You know, it's like, okay, you know, I just say, okay, I don't want to tell him, I don't care, you know, because he thinks it's important because they are known to be important. But don't you see, that's normal. People do want to be fluffed and puffed and nurtured, and they want to be so important that when they come in the restaurant, even though they say there's no room, they want to say, we'll have your table in one moment because I know who you are and we don't want to disappoint you. Come on in. And we throw the next person out that comes in, you know. That's what we're after, and that's truly what it's all about. That's what we're saying. So this is the exact opposite of getting killed, dying to self, withering up to a nobody kind of person. It's two extremes, but it's against our evil nature. See, that's the real balloon of our evil nature, is that pride and arrogance, desire of power and fame and pleasure and notice, that's that thing that's what the evil nature that Paul's talking about here. But if we see that those aren't the issues, that there is something that God has to do to deflate that. Can you imagine everybody getting to heaven and thinking we're more important than God? You know, walk in, everybody, here I am, folks, and God's supposed to come over and kiss your feet? It's the other way around. You crawl into heaven and hope God even gives you His hand of mercy. Come on, son, get up here. I love you. Oh, thank you. I thought I'd have to clean toilets in heaven, you know. I'm amazed that you're being so kind to me. You know, that's a whole different attitude, isn't it?